Let's go directly to the exhortation. I'm going to take it from Romans 14, 23. The outline for the exhortation is coming to you right now. Several of the young men will be passing them out, because it's very important that you get this outline, I believe. I'm going to be addressing a controversial subject today. Not that I haven't done that before, but I plan to do it right now. Romans 14 and verse 23, let me read from the Word of God. You know, I am amazed at how sharp the Apostle Paul was. And obviously what he gives us here is inspired truth from Jesus Christ himself. It happened automatically that way, but that's what's supposed to happen. We should be living lives of faith, and we should be making decisions in faith. Now this is the major point as applied to the subject of birth control. This is my major point. If anybody forgets to emphasize this point above all points, when it comes to the application of the principles, they will fall far short of God's glory, and they will be in sin, as Paul says here. So here are the principles related to birth control. Here are the things the Bible says about birth control. There may be one or two other texts that tie into it, but this is what I have found in Scripture concerning birth control, the use of birth control. It's obviously an important subject. I didn't want to take a full sermon with it, but I did want to go through it as a particular application that ties into a number of different principles. First of which is this: whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That is, okay, it doesn't matter what you do. People who do not use birth control and have children without faith are sinning. Y'all with me? And believe me, they exist. Mormons. Right? Duh. It takes faith to have a child. It takes faith to raise a child. It takes faith in the promises and faith that God will reward those who diligently seek Him. Now, it's true that none of us are perfect. But faith is the standard. Faith is the standard. People who use birth control without faith are sinning as well. And as you know, there is much self-orientation, materialism, etc. in our day. But the fundamental problem is that there is no faith. Faith is what is essential. And it is true that when you walk into a church with a 0.2 birth rate, I would be concerned. But see, that would not be my fundamental concern. When I was down at that CRC church and saw 3 children and 150 adults, I was a little concerned. But my concern with the CRC is not the 0.3 birth rate. My concern is faithlessness. That manifests itself in many other ways. Their softened approach to homosexuality is a problem. Their softened approach to women pastors and elders is a problem. The CRC's basic problem is faithlessness. The faith is dying in America, and it exhibits itself in so many different ways. I would much prefer 10,000 sermons on faith than 4 sermons on birth control. Why? Because faith is what is languishing today. God help us. God help us. The faith is dying. It's manifested in 1,000 different ways. Certainly manifested in the fact that our children are not attending church. An 18% church attendance rate, down from 55% from the silent generation. That's bad news. That's the dying of the faith. It's all sad. So the concern is faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Secondly, brothers and sisters, the principle is to love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your children as yourself. Now, I know these are intangibles. So far, I didn't say birth control is of the devil. And maybe some of you were hoping I would jump to the point and just say it. But see, that's not good preaching. That doesn't solve the problem. We don't find that in Scripture anyway. So what does the Word of God say about birth control? The Word of God says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin, and you ought to love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your children as yourselves. And, you know, these are intangibles, and that's why sometimes it's difficult to take the Word and apply it to everybody else. But friends, I'm just trying to apply the Word to myself, and I'm encouraging you to do the same thing. Hopefully God's Word will convict you if there is any lovelessness in your life, or if there's any faithlessness in your life. That's the hope of a biblical pastor, is that the Spirit of God through the Word will convict you. It's easy to point at 80 million dead babies and say it looks like there's a wee bit of a lapse of love in America for children. I mean, I think it's easy for all of us to say that. That's a big no-brainer. Evidently, some people hate children. That's why they kill them. But, you know, it's one thing to say lovelessness has affected all of those people out there. No, lovelessness has affected all of us. We are very much a self-oriented people. And wherever God convicts us of our lovelessness for the children that God has given to us already. Let's, you know, say that God has given you two or three children. Have you ever had an experience raising those kids in which you've sensed a lack of love in your life for them? Ever? Has anybody? Anybody ever sensed like just a teeny bit of a lack of love? That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. To love our children as ourselves. They're our neighbors, our closest neighbors. They live right in the room next door. That's the neighbor, you know, Jesus is talking about there. Okay, thirdly, children are a blessing. Children are a blessing. Psalm 127 verse 3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And it's important to listen to what people say about children. As you listen to them, oftentimes you get the impression that they consider children to be a curse in the words that they say. So, you know, you want to listen to folks and determine whether they really believe that children are a blessing. Fourthly, Onan in the Old Testament, the son of Judah. Onan, I'm not going to tell you the story. You can look it up when you have the time. But Onan was cursed because he was selfish and did not raise seed for his brother. That's what the word says. The passage is not about birth control. It is about selfishness. And God killed him for it. That's pretty severe, huh? Some of us are a little shocked at the whole Onan story, you know. He didn't kill him for using birth control. He killed him because he was selfish. Now, is it possible that there are some Americans who are selfish and they use birth control out of selfishness? I suppose that may be the case. I'm guessing it is. Especially if Time Magazine a couple of months ago said that the millennial generation is the me generation. Atlantic Magazine said the millennial generation was the most narcissistic generation ever. These are the pagans condemning the pagans. I wonder if the church should speak to some of these matters from time to time as well. Are you all with me? I wonder if we should perhaps warn people concerning the me mentality and the narcissism that seems to push the self-sacrifice of getting married and the self-sacrifice of having children further and further out because, according to Time Magazine, they're narcissistic. Again, I'm not quoting a right-wing fundamentalist weird pastor here. I'm just quoting the front page of Time Magazine, no less. Onan was cursed because he was selfish. Fifthly, birth control is appropriate for prayer and fasting. We have a data point, a very clear data point. People have asked me, is birth control biblical? I said, 1 Corinthians 7, it's no-brainers right there. So, you know, that's easy. That's an easy question. Again, some of the applications more difficult, but here we have it. Very clear allowance for birth control. Defraud ye not one the other, speaking of husbands and wives, don't hold back from each other when it comes to intimacy, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Now, here's my question for you. What do you think a husband and wife might need to have a little prayer and fasting over? health problems, emotional problems, difficulties in the home when the sixth child arrived. You follow me here? My guess is there are a lot of problems that could crop up in the raising of children in a home, and fathers and mothers need to be sensitive to these things. And it may happen that they will have to have a time of prayer and fasting. Number six, different families are blessed in different ways. A family with less children is not less blessed in toto than another family with more children. And this is why I like 1 Corinthians 7 so much. It's such a wonderful chapter concerning all of the debt-free, not debt-free, you know, big old quiverful, little smaller quiverful stuff. I mean, you know, all the different things that seem to make up the variety of families that come together in a church. Here you have in 1 Corinthians 7 how to handle it and how to handle it charitably and to be careful and to respect one another. Here's what it says in verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 7. As God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all the churches. Number seven, there are other ethical commands that should be taken into account. In other words, God has all these commands, and we can't be focused in on one to the negation of all the others. Okay, we have to understand that we are submitting to the whole Word of God, and we bring them all to bear in our lives. For example, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You're to love your wife. Husbands, be concerned for your wife. Thou shalt not kill your wife. Pretty important. It's pretty important, guys. Include that in the mix. It's vitally important. You need to be sensitive to your wife in these things. Number eight, this should be obvious. We've said it before. Don't murder a child in the womb. That's why you need to be very careful with forms of birth control like IUDs and pills that the physician desk reference specifically says that these things bear abortifacient qualities. And if that be the case, then be very, very cautious in how you choose methods of birth control. Number nine, be fruitful and multiply is God's command. Now, it doesn't specify how many kids you're going to have in each individual case. But we got to understand this is something that we're still bound by. Was renewed in the Noahic covenant. We are still bound by this command. And granted, there are those who don't agree with it. Malthus did not agree with the principle, but that's because Reverend Malthus was faithless. Number 10, there are verses divinely inspired specifically for women to meditate upon and treasure in their hearts that are still not very popular for the culture. She shall be saved by childbearing from 1 Timothy chapter 2 and from 1 Timothy chapter 5. Paul says, I would that younger women marry and bear children. So Paul is saying younger women should get on it. And of course, that's dependent on whether there's somebody to marry. But these are things to consider that are important. They're the words of God. They're more important than anything Margaret Sanger ever said. So meditate upon these things. Now, here's the few things God's Word does not say. It does not enumerate all the cases where birth control might be inappropriate. Number two, it does not enumerate all the cases where prayer and fasting and birth control are appropriate. These things call for wisdom and faith. And then thirdly, every family should bear, it does not say, the Word of God does not say, that every family should bear and or adopt as many children as possible. And then fourthly, the Bible warns about too much wine, but it does not warn about too many children. So, yes, wine is a blessing, but overconsumption of wine produces drunkenness. We don't find a warning concerning having too many children in the same sense we have warnings in Scripture concerning consuming too much wine. Okay, so here's the application for us today. How do we apply all of this? How do we live together as God's people? Well, let's encourage everybody to employ the principles of the Word as we've laid them out here. Employ these things. Live by them. Live by faith. Live by love for God and love for your children. Let's challenge the jurisdictions to be wise in their applications. So families, tag your it. I'm not telling you when to have birth control and when not to have birth control. I'm sorry, just not going to happen. We're going to challenge you to deny yourselves, take up your own cross and follow Christ, whatever that means. Whatever that means. And the older I get, I realize I'm going to have to give up my life for Christ some way. I better pick one, you know. And the idea is not to kill yourself right away, though. You're trying to extend your life as much as possible, but you're still to give up your life for Christ and not to be trying to save your life in the process losing it. Let's challenge everybody to hate the world with its self-orientation, its materialism, and hatred of God's law order. You really, at the root of it, when you hear the world, you ought to hate it. When you hear the world talking, and they're not talking to the principles of God's word, you know they're not talking to the principles of God's word, you ought to repudiate it. Say, no, that's ugly, that's self-oriented, that's wicked, and that's going to destroy them in the process. And let's challenge everybody to love God with their own minds and make the applications that they need to make. And here's one more thing. Let's challenge everybody to hold a tighter standard to yourself than you would hold to others. When you look at others, love hopes all things. Love looks at others and doesn't hold them to the sort of standard you might hold to yourself. Now, here's a slight problem that comes into play when we get into application in some of these areas, whether it be meat and drink, birth control, or fill in the blank. The problem is that when people talk about their own applications, that tends to become a sales pitch for what they are doing. You follow me here? And the sales pitch becomes an effort to bind somebody else to your own applications and decisions, or faithlessness in some cases. You know, I had 14 kids without faith. Why don't you do the same thing? Please don't do that. You follow me here? You can't do the sales pitch by talking ad nauseum about your own applications. In most churches, what you get is something like this. We're done. We're tired of having kids. What a pain. What? I can't believe you're having another one. Okay, what is that? That's imposing your application on somebody else, or your faithlessness on somebody else, as the case may be. But occasionally you'll hear somebody say, when are you going to have your next child? Hasn't it been 6 months? We can hardly wait to have our next one. What does that mean? What are they saying? It's a sales pitch. For what? For their application. Respect jurisdictions. Respect each family for their decisions. Be very careful not to tread into other people's applications and decisions. You need to recognize that sensitive territory. Isn't the Word of God great? It provides for maximum liberty, but it doesn't let you get away with licentiousness and selfishness. Praise God. Love it. Recommend it to you. All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your words, perfectly balanced. Oh Lord, it directs itself to our hearts. It constantly directs itself to our hearts. It doesn't give us a list of things to check off that are merely externals, but requires of us faith and selflessness and love for others. And God, love for you, passionate, heart-deep love for you with heart, soul, mind, and strength. And God, it's at this point we are convicted. Not just in the area of the use of birth control, but in the area of, well, everything. God, we don't love you as we should. And faith, oh God, how often we make decisions without faith, without looking to you to bless our endeavors, especially in matters like having our children and raising them and teaching them your word. Father, sometimes we give way to our own recipes and we don't trust in the sovereign grace of God and the promises of God in the raising up of our children to sanctified life in Christ. God, forgive us. Oh, Spirit of God, fill us now with faith, with love, and joy. Now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.